heaven to lever me in a black winged bird. I think of flying down.
And we're back this week in Waukesha here at the offices of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, located in the NAMI building, also known as Radio Studios at 217 Wisconsin Avenue. And that was Counting Crows with Rain King. And that song came out in, I believe it was like 93 or 94, during a time when someone very close to me was battling a very serious bout with serious depression. And that song for me had just been very, very therapeutic. And, you know, during the break, Mary and I were talking about, and again, my guest is Mary Madden, the executive director of NAMI Southeast Wisconsin. But we were talking about, I was asking if NAMI, you know, refers people to, you know, affordable and good, you know, mental health, you know, counseling services. And she had mentioned not only do they do that, but they help these people navigate this very difficult healthcare system. Mary, take it away.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. You know, we were talking about long wait times for people who, you know, they know that they need some help. And especially for those in crisis, you know, who may have to wait some time to get in to see a therapist or a psychiatrist. You know, and waits can be as long as 6-7 months. I think we're pretty lucky here in Waukesha. We've got a number of hospitals that have, you know, what they call behavioral health units. And so I think we're a little bit, you know, we've got a little bit more resources here. But therapists, you know, we've been working with people, you know, who were impacted by the parade tragedy. And you know, most of them were able to get help right away, but now we're back to the point where people are telling us they're waiting, you know, 7-8 weeks, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. And
which can mean eternity if you're dealing with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, somebody who's, you know, especially for somebody who might be on medication and they've become destabilized, maybe their medication isn't working properly anymore. And, you know, and so now they're waiting these long periods of time, and they lose hope, and the family loses hope as to, you know, what they're supposed to do. And, you know, there's such a shortage of, especially therapists, well, and psychiatrists too. You know, some of that has to do with really low reimbursement rates from insurance companies. Mm. And, you know, these young doctors coming out of, you know, med school, or, you know, our clinical therapist at NAMI, Dr. Jennifer Smith, went to the Wisconsin School of Professional Psychology. They come out with mountains of debt, of school debt. And then they're, you know, and then they are working in positions where, you know, there's just not the kind of reimbursement that they need in order to pay off that debt. So it's hard to get, it's hard to attract people to those positions, which, you know, only increases the shortages.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. And shortages, navigating the health system, accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on top of that, and I know most of the conversation has been focused around depression.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also a whole, you know, there's anxiety, there's, right. I mean,
bipolar disorder, schizophrenia,
right.
You know, there's just a whole gamut, substance use disorders, you know, those fall under the class of mental health disorders. And, mm-hmm. you know, of course they come with their own stigma and, you know, even a more critical issue when, you know, somebody who's dealing with a substance use disorder, you know, when there's that window of opportunity where they are able to accept help, if they can't get that help immediately, their life really is at risk because, you know, the body, the addiction is such that they're going to go out and use again.
Sure.
And so, you know, and we've seen some clinics close also during the pandemic, you know, sure. just like we've seen companies close and, you know, people have been affected financially and so making it, you know, stretching it even the limited services even further.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. So, sounds great. Yeah, you know, and would one thing I've become aware about too is like parental alienation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That need for therapy for not only for parents but also parents and children together, right. and for keeping, you know,
right.
You know, has there been any movement in that? Because that, you know, compared to other countries, I know the U.S. lags behind considerably on addressing
right.
You know, that, which to me falls into the mental health spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it can be, you know, it can be so difficult. You know, there's just such a lot to unpack when it talks about mental health issues, right? So mm-hmm. There's a genetic component. There's a, you know, there's a nature versus nurture component, but not always. There can be a trauma component. You know, somebody could have, you know, we know a family that, you know, their father died in a terrible accident. And, you know, one child was really resilient and had no issues. And the other child,
yeah.
you know, suffers with severe depression and anxiety. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to kind of figure out what's going to help and what's going to hurt. There's, you know, there were many, many decades when there was not a lot of research happening
right.
on brain-based disorders and the medications that could help them.
Sure.
And because it was seen historically as a character weakness, you know, mm-hmm. everything from being possessed to, you know,
yeah.
all the, you know, really horrible words that we've, you know, mm-hmm. heard about people and
sure.
Who deal with mental health issues. So, right. You know, we are actually, we in partnership with Rogers, one of the things...
That's Rogers Behavioral Health.
Right, yes, yep. thank you. Rogers yep. Behavioral yep. Health. We are working on a toolkit for parents and caregivers. It's called the Compassion Resilience Toolkit. Rogers Behavioral Health created it. Nice. And it is, it's really to help parents understand how to be compassionate, resilient themselves so that they can attend to the social and emotional learning needs of their kids. So,
okay.
you know, that idea that you can't pour from an empty cup
sure.
or to affix your oxygen before you affix it to your child.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Sounds great. Well, we're going to head to another break here. But when we come back, we're going to talk about Mary's long career dedicated to mental and behavioral health and a lot of the improvements that have been, a lot of the, you know, improvements that we've seen as well as what needs to be done. A lot, long road to go. Don't go away. This Week in Waukesha continues. I keep wanting to say Washington.
Walk along these hillsides in the summer 'neath the sunshine, I'm feathered.